to Cornfield Theology. My name is Brooks. I'm one of the hosts of the podcast, and we are here, as always, over Skype today with Pastor Jonathan Powers.
What's up,
Pastor
man? Sean? Why aren't we together? COVID-19 breaking us apart.
COVID-19 is actually more technical, logistical difficulties, but guess who we're here with today? intern number two at Redemption Hill Church, the third in command right after me and Sean. Logan Kane. How you doing today, Logan?
Our polity would not suggest that, but go ahead.
Yeah, I'm doing fantastic, and I'll let you know that I will be messing with your schedule the next time I get on Planning Center for calling me third in command.
Are you going to schedule me for children's ministry when we don't meet on Sundays at the moment?
I'll schedule you for hospitality team and children's ministry when we don't meet on Sunday mornings.
So, guys, how is everybody doing today? Sean, how was your faux Lord's Day today, preaching?
It was good, man. We got our sermon up. Obviously, we're not doing it live or in physically in person. So, yeah, appreciate all the folks who helped out.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm glad that we can serve the church when we are not able to meet together.
Yeah.
Sean, you have a topic that you wanted to talk about today. Why don't you introduce it and then maybe give us a layout of what you're expecting?
Should you go to seminary? So if you're like listening, and you're like, hey, I want to learn more theology. I want to learn more about the Bible. Seminary? You know? I mean, that's an instant reaction for many people. I know it was for me when, you know, I'd gone through my undergraduate degree and had been sensing like wanting to learn more about the Bible and theology and had to ask a question. What's next? Should I do that? Do I want to be a pastor? Do I want to be a, you know, a professor or a missionary, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? And so that was the question. Should I go to seminary? And I think the other question that we should be asking, and then we can get to this probably second, is what does it mean to not go to seminary and yet receive good, solid theological education in your local church, right?
So
oftentimes, go ahead.
We are coming at this from some different perspectives. I am in seminary. Logan is in seminary. And so what we're seeing right now is, what does it mean to be in seminary? What is the benefit that you get from it as you're doing it? And right. You have graduated seminary twice, actually, with two master's degrees. So you get to see not only what it's like while you're doing it, though it's been a while, so maybe we have that perspective a little better, but you would have right. The perspective of, what is the benefit post-seminary? What is the ministry benefit that you're going to get from this long-term? And that's something Logan and I can't really see ourselves.
Yeah, and the reason why I wanted to discuss this particular topic is what you pointed out is you guys are in seminary. I'm well past it. I went to Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. Then right after that, did a master's of theology degree at St. John's University in Collegeville, Minnesota. Shout out.
You going to admit that? No, I'm just kidding.
Absolutely, 100%, man. They have the greatest D3 college football team in the country. I love it. So anyways, I have some perspective now that I'm past it. You guys are wrestling with questions while you're through it. And I would imagine there's folks listening to this who either are thinking about it or maybe they're in it and they're just wrestling with what's next. Hey, let's tackle the issue. Is it necessary? That could be the first question. Is seminary necessary? Now, I'll kick it back to you guys. What do you think? You're in it right now. Do you think this is necessary? As you've been praying and pondering about what's next for ministry, whether it's missionary studies, whether it's being a pastor, whatever. I'll let you guys tell that part. So is it necessary? Do you find it's necessary for you guys to go through it?
Well, I think just to lay a foundation before we answer the question, we'll just say we're talking about theological seminaries. And so it really is only a relevant question to people who are pursuing theological training or ministry. And so when we're saying, like, should you go to seminary? Obviously, if you're not pursuing ministry or theological training, then the answer is probably going to be no.
Correct.
But for those pursuing pastoral ministry, church planting, missions, just Christian ministry in general, is seminary worth it? And seminary, by the way, is postgraduate ministry training at a university level.
Yeah, which is also good to note. Like, you know, seminaries these days oftentimes have their undergraduate programs now. They've developed that over the years. So there's this hybrid thing going on between undergraduate and master's degree. But, you know, let me ask the question in a very practical way for you guys. Has it been beneficial for you as you've gone through seminary? As you've been in a church plant context, you've gone through seminary, has it been beneficial? If so, what have been some of the benefits? Logan, perhaps you go first, and then Brooks, you can give your take.
Yeah, man, the question keeps changing before I even get the chance to talk.
Welcome to the podcast.
I would say that for myself, it has been an extreme blessing. I've enjoyed my time at seminary probably more than at 100%. I've been enjoying seminary probably more than any other place that I have ever gone. I've received more knowledge than I've ever had before as well. And I've really enjoyed being able to dive deeply into the Bible. One thing that I've heard before was that seminary can kill your faith because it's all like head knowledge. Cemetery. I found that
they call it oh, cemetery. Yeah.
Right. I found it to be the exact opposite for me. I've found seminary to be very encouraging to my faith. And it is just, like I said, it's been a blessing. Brooks, how about you?
I guess if the question is, has seminary been beneficial? I would just answer, everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. No, I'm just kidding. Well, I mean, obviously it's going to have some benefit to me.
Yeah.
Sure. There's not like, you're not going to go through it. No, but not a single person would go through it and say, wow, this has not been a benefit to me at all. You know, an atheist could go through it and say that, but it has been a benefit to me. I mean, the Lord used it just like he would any situation to sanctify me, to grow my faith. Mm-hmm. With regards to like seeing my current ministry context, has it been useful? Absolutely. I think that the program that Midwestern has where we go to seminary has been really good theological training, really good Bible training, really good practical training, just to turn around everything we're learning, and they would put it back and say, now, how is this going to apply to pastoral ministry or counseling or teaching or whatever, you know? And it's been really helpful to me already.
Yeah, no, that's good. So the benefits are there. Now, I think the next question, that was the first question I asked, so let's get back to that. Is it necessary? So if you want theological education, if you're looking to learn more about the Bible and you want to do it in a more formal context, is it necessary? And I would answer, no, it's not. It's not necessary. Now, I, as a guy who's been through seminary, and you guys are obviously going through it right now, I loved seminary. I appreciate the pastors who are also theologians at Southeastern. They ministered to my heart. The other guys that I would go through seminary with, they challenged me in ways that I did not imagine or expect. So tons of benefits and blessings that you guys have mentioned already as well. But, you know, here's where, you know, Brooks and I, you and I talked about this in the past. The local church needs to be the place for Bible training or theological education. Now, it's okay for an individual to go to seminary. I think that is true. I've encouraged you guys to pursue that. But we got to remember the importance of the local church. So with that said, I've appreciated seminaries who've come to realize that they need to keep the local church involved when the local church sends individuals to seminary. So is it necessary? No. Is it beneficial? Yes. And so I think seminary has a lot to offer, but the local church needs to be the one that is sending out and keeping people, continuing to get them trained locally as well. What would you say, guys?
I think I'm actually going to have to disagree with you on that one. I'm going to have to say that seminary being necessary is going to, my answer would be it's probably necessary. In light, like I 100% agree with the sentimentality that the church should be involved with theological education and training up people in that. But so many churches lack the infrastructure to do it, the courses to do it, the knowledge to do it.
And but what you're saying would only make seminary an answer to a problem that we have and that needs to be fixed. It's like a Band-Aid solution to the actual issue, which is local churches aren't training leaders and ministries and ministers.
I mean, right. Yeah, you could see it like that. But
like, let me put it this way. Whose job is it, according to Ephesians, to equip the saints?
The local church.
It's the job, yeah, of the officers of the church.
Brooks, you guys are hitting on a point that is really important to address here, which is the church, many local churches are failing in equipping their people, right? So there was a time when I was a part of a local church, and I really love that local church. But you know what? I didn't think they were doing an adequate job of training and preparing young men to be pastors. And so I began to look elsewhere, right?
Yeah.
They didn't know what a systematic theology book was. And so I'm like, well, I'm going to go learn about systematic theology or biblical theology, historical, whatever. So I hear what Logan's saying for sure.
I think that the issue comes down to pastors who are not focusing on training leaders. I think that pastors and local churches should be putting time into counseling and to training leaders. And a lot of times we lose that focus because, at least in our culture, church becomes more of a business. And so they're focusing more on how do we run the business? How do we, you know, deliver a product on a Sunday morning rather than rather than helping to shepherd sheep throughout their whole walk with Christ. And I think seminary likewise is more so of an our culture thing. I mean, the majority of cultures, the majority of people in the world, of Christians in the world, need churches, and the majority of them can't afford to go to seminary. Seminary is expensive. And so if we're asking, like, should I go to seminary? There really does have to be a cost-benefit analysis. For many people in many cultures across the world, they're not going to be able to afford it. And they're going to have to rely on people training them to be pastors. And I think that the Word of God is enough to do that on its own. And I think that God has given us the church and the church's leaders to help people to learn the Word of God and to apply it to become leaders. And I think seminary is a great tool that the church has in the West. I mean, there's seminaries all over, but it's more prominent in the West to help build up leaders and train people to be pastors and church planters, missionaries. But it's just not a privilege that everyone can have, and it's not a biblical solution to the problem. You don't see the Bible prescribing seminary. It's a Western solution or a modern. I don't want to say Western. It's a modern solution to the problem.
So yeah, and I hear what you're saying, and I'm not going to disagree with what you've said, buddy. But Logan, let me frame it for you like this, and let me know what your thoughts. Seminaries exist to come alongside local churches to train men and women. Now, one, I would imagine you agree, but two, why?
Yeah, I would certainly agree with that. And the reason why is that, you know, when we go to seminary, we shouldn't be going to seminary to not serve the local church. Like what seminary is a means, right? Seminary is a means to serving the local church. As such, it is then necessarily going to be coming alongside the local church. And like I said, so since we're in this situation right now where a lot of local churches aren't being, you know, aren't training men, that's where the seminary can step in and train those men. Maybe in an ideal world, as seminaries train more and more men, those men can then go on to train, you know, other men in their own local church for ministry. That way we can start eliminating some of the need for seminary.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Let me ask you guys another question related to seminary, but maybe off the question of, you know, is it necessary and how is it beneficial? You guys are doing online education through Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. And what have been some of the benefits from the online as opposed to what have you missed from being in class with your peers? Because you guys had that as well when we were all up in Minnesota. So maybe I answer that because folks who are listening, I would imagine might be asking the question, do I need to, you know, pack up everything like I did and move to North Carolina, which is what my wife and I did, or can I get a quality education online? What are your thoughts?
I think a lot of it comes down to learning styles. I think some people are going to flourish online more than they would in a traditional like university setting. And a lot of that, at least for Midwestern so far, has been the way that you learn. I've learned a lot more online than I did on campus because listening to lectures and gaining from them is very hard for me. It's hard for me to keep my attention that long. It's hard for me to follow along to an auditory argument and discourse. But for me, online is really heavy on the reading. And so I've learned a lot more because reading is the way that I learn best. And I'm able to go and spend the time to actually dig into things and learn better. The one thing you're going to always have less of online is the ability to go over things with your peers, to bounce ideas off of them. And that has not been as much of an issue for me. One, because I have a roommate who also goes to the same school and is taking a lot of the same classes and just likes to talk about the things that I'm learning anyway. And then also, no matter what school you go to, you're going to have the discussion posts where you're going to interact with your peers and your classmates every week on the ideas that you're learning, which is a supplement to the actual what you would be doing in person. And it's not as good, but it does, I mean, it functions to some extent, as long as the class and the teachers actually hold you accountable to having quality discussion posts and responses. Some of them haven't. Typically, my undergrad courses, they have not been held accountable to having actual good discussion in the discussion posts. And in my graduate courses, they have.
What about you, Logan?
Yeah, I would agree with a lot of that. Now, I'm slightly different. I actually benefit more from having an instructor in the classroom. I'm the type of person that likes to ask a lot of questions and have a lot of back and forth. But at the same time, there's been a huge amount of benefit with being online. It has allowed me to have a more flexible schedule and have a full-time job, and then being able to just do my classwork in the evenings. It's also allowed me to apply what I'm learning in class to, Redemption Hill, just right off the bat.
Yeah.
So that's a huge benefit, especially with these practicum courses that I've been taking recently, where they are so focused on immediately applying this to your church, where I'm doing research on our local community and how we can best reach them. Yeah. So it's been wonderful in that aspect. So I think the trade-off of not having an instructor for me has been worth it, just for the flexibility.
Yeah, no, that's good. You know, it's interesting. Well, two thoughts. One, first thought is, it's been awesome to have you guys go through seminary while seeing you actively, use some of the things you're learning, some of the training, and use it in the local church. Like, that is so important. You don't want to go to seminary and all of a sudden be like, well, am I a part of a local church? Am I even get involved? Maybe you're going on Sundays. Are you actually doing something in your local church? Hey, don't be that guy, right? Don't go for the education and not be willing to put things into practice, basically. So I applaud you guys for doing that, because you both have done that, and I appreciate that. What I was going to say is, that was the second point that I was going to make, is when I was younger, I definitely would have leaned toward Logan's learning style, wanting to be in the classroom. For me, it was just being held accountable. Like, I needed to see people and be around people in order to learn. What I do love about in class is the engagement between people, like especially the professors who would like throw out a question and let everyone engage in the question. I learned so much from those type of contexts. It's interesting, as I've gotten older, not because I'm more introverted, because maybe I've just changed in other ways. I actually really appreciate private study. I've learned to, and that's a discipline. That's a discipline that I've had to learn over the years, that I got to sit down and let's say I'm going to go over Romans 8, just picking a chapter out of the Bible, the great Romans 8. Well, over time, I've learned that I've got to discipline myself to read, study, and write on Romans 8, right where I'm at, without any interaction. And, everyone's learning style is different, but if your learning style is one way, you're going to realize that you have to train yourself to be disciplined in other ways if you want to be successful or do well. So everyone's different. I think, Brooks, your point is well taken, and each individual needs to consider kind of where they're at and where they can thrive. At the end of the day, here's what I would say. Be involved in your local church. You want to go to seminary? Great. I'm all about it. I was all about you guys going to seminary, but be involved in your local church, period. Don't neglect the local church.
Yeah. So if the question is then, like, is seminary worth it for you? For me, obviously, if you can do it, then, I mean, why not do it? But the question is, it really does cost a lot of money, especially for someone going into ministry. I mean, if you're going to go into, a profession that makes a good money, or makes a normal amount of money, then that's different, because seminary is relatively inexpensive compared to other degrees and other options. Right. But for someone going into ministry, it really is expensive. I mean, you might leave with $40,000 to $60,000 in debt. And I feel like that's a kind of a low end.
Yeah, I would agree with you.
And that's a lot of money to go, like, to be in debt going into ministry, going into to work at the local church. I mean, that's a burden that's now on your local church. You know what I mean? And how they pay you.
Yeah, and what we're seeing probably in the last, I'm just ballpark time frame, 15, 20 years. Local churches are, because of that particular reality, Brooks, that is so expensive, they're creating curriculum and education and leadership programs right out of their local church. And it's turning into undergraduate degrees. It's turning into seminaries, accreditation, right? So Bethlehem Seminary is one of them. St. Andrew's out in, what are they, in Idaho? Moscow, Idaho is another one that comes to mind. There's another one in Florida, R.C. Sproul. I can't remember what that's called right now. All the Reformed people are going to shun me. But that'd be another one where, you know, you have local churches, and out of these local churches are leadership training programs that turn into accredited undergraduate degrees and then accredited seminary degrees, and that are, by the way, way cheaper than the seminary that you look up online by Googling it or whatever.
The problem with those is smaller churches are going to have a really hard time getting accreditation. The accreditation process honestly kind of sucks. It's hard, and not only getting accredited but staying accredited, it requires a lot of work. And so for a smaller, even a mid-sized local church to be doing that is a lot. I've heard of programs that are starting that are going to help local churches to have college at their local church by moving a bigger seminary to them. I think the Master Seminary is working on that. And then there's one other I'm not remembering that's doing that. But the thing is, why do you need an accredited degree to be a minister? That's something that I think is expected now in our culture in the church, that I don't think is a proper expectation. Like when someone, I am a seminarian. I'm not like a pastor who's making decisions about who's going to be a pastor, but I'm not looking for, do you have an MDiv from a good seminary? I'm looking for, do you have the qualifications and do you meet them well from 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1? And I think that the Lord put those as the qualifications because they're better qualifications.
Go ahead, bro. Go ahead, Logan. Sorry.
I totally agree with that assessment. I wonder if it comes or stems from the thing that you pointed out before of churches being more like businesses, where they'll look at your resume and they'll try and see your accreditation and see where you've gone to school, more so than the actual character qualifications of being a pastor.
Yeah, here's what I would say about accreditation, why it matters. Maybe not in every context, in every situation, but with accreditation comes accountability. Like, here's what you want to avoid. Mom and pop shop down the road church is saying, hey, we offer a undergraduate degree. Naive 17-year-old, 18-year-old, 19-year-old, whatever, says, hey, I want to get my degree over at mom and pop shop who's, you know, teaching me the Bible. Well, the question really is, like, are they really teaching the Bible? And by what standards? And who's holding them accountable by those standards? Now, if you're
going to get a degree, it needs to be accredited. I'm not going to tell anyone to go for an unaccredited degree. My point is, why do you need to go? Why does the local church's training have to be for a degree?
Yeah, no, and that's a fair point. That's a different, I guess.
Like, I wouldn't trust a bachelor's degree from an unaccredited university.
Correct. I would agree.
No, I'm just kidding. his PhD from an unaccredited university. Anyway, continue.
He did?
I think so. Didn't he, Logan? You're the James White aficionado here.
Yes, he did get his degree from an unaccredited college, but his argument is that he put in the work for a doctorate degree, and he thinks that the argumentation is just foolish, which you can kind of take that or leave it. And honestly, there's some degrees you can get from accredited colleges that are quite questionable.
Oh, yeah, like basket knitting or weaving or whatever. But here's the thing, like, the proof is always in the pudding. Like, you get out what you put in. So I don't know James White. I've never met him, never had a conversation with him. Maybe he's a nice guy. Maybe he's a jerk. I really don't know. But you know what? Is he a smart guy? Does he know his Bible? Does he know theology well? So also, whether he's, you know, it's like, I don't know. That's what it matters at the end of the day.
If we're talking about, like, some degrees suck from accredited university, it depends on what type of accreditation. So you can get regional accreditation from the government, which ensures that you have all of the regular general classes and that you're meeting all of their education standards. But you can get accreditation from accrediting bodies that are recognized by the government, like the Association of Biblical Higher Education, ABHE. Yeah, I think that's it. But anyway, I mean, they're going to hold you to a different standard, you know. So you're not going to find like trash courses from one that you, I mean, I'm not saying the ABHE doesn't have trash courses, but I'm just saying the accrediting body matters, and whether it's a regional or national accreditation or both matters.
At the end of the day, the point is accountability matters. That's what matters. How that accountability is enforced with the federal government, or let's say it's a bunch of, independent churches who form their own accreditation agency. There has to be accountability. So people know the standards, and these are the standards that we're going to hold people to. And in order to get a degree, you gotta go through these standards, and schools need to expect that these are the standards that they're going to, teachers are going to teach up to as well. So that's the big thing. It's that what I get bugged by is, if you Google right now, all the, seminaries that are in our area, there are some seminaries where it's like, I never heard of that, but they're teaching degrees, and they're saying, here's your degree. Dunder Mifflin University and Seminary, whatever. I started following them on Facebook, Dunder Mifflin Seminary. And it's like, oh my gosh, I can get a degree from there. And then obviously it's a spoof.
Yeah, that's
thing,
not
right?
A thing. I was going to say, Sean, that's not a real.
Oh, I'm very, very well aware, and I'm very well entertained. Go ahead, Logan.
One thing with, you're talking about accountability that is from accreditation. Wouldn't this then be more of an argument as to why seminary is necessary? Because sure, the local church, ideally the local church can train their men theologically, but how do we keep them accountable that they're actually doing it well? Perhaps seminary is a means that can be done.
Yeah, hey man, that's a good point, and especially in light of the accreditation conversation, here's how to respond. I think it's ideal that biblical and theological education come through the local church. Most times we find that local churches are unequipped or unable to do that. And so when men get farmed out, they need to be put in places where there is accreditation. Now, if a local church is going to do that, they're going to train and raise men to be ministers and pastors, or even men and women to be missionaries. I think they should seek some type of accountability in order to ensure those standards are met. There needs to be clarity in the program. That doesn't mean that, a church that's doing like a course on theological education, that it's not legit if it's not accredited or whatever. My point is, if you're going to offer a degree, if you're going to say, here's your bachelor's or here's your master's or whatever, there needs to be some type of accountability.
Yeah. Everybody. I mean, I'm pretty sure we're on the same page with that. If you're going to say this is a bachelor's degree, then you need to be accredited.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wouldn't say you need to be accredited. I would think you need to be pursuing accreditation, but regardless, I think that the local church can train leaders without saying, here's a bachelor's degree, here's a master's degree. I don't think that those are categories that necessarily need to be imposed on pastoral qualifications. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think they're helpful tools. Like, if I were hiring a pastor at Redemption Hill Church, like I'd want to know what theological education looked like for the individual, without a doubt. And obviously seminaries are a way to kind of, dial into it. So
you can also gauge that yourself when you're hiring, though. You can tell. I mean,
oh yeah. You can ask questions. You can ask the right questions and see how they respond or whatever.
I would just also add, like, we're talking about local church versus seminary in some ways, but that's not actually the reality for every seminary. I mean, we go to Midwestern and their entire thing is for the church. We're taking online classes where Sean is a mentor for us and has to interview with us for almost every class that we take. And, we have what they call contextualized assignments, most of our units, where we have to actually apply what we're learning. And so I think it's pretty local church centered what we have right now. But not all seminaries are like that.
Yeah. And I gotta tell you, I like the online / local church dynamic that's been going on. I think that's really...
Yeah, I know you really love those interviews. I could tell.
well, I've also come to appreciate how you guys have learned to apply what you're learning. So, hey, before moving on, I'm going to move on, actually. Not before moving on. I'm going to ask you guys kind of a fun question, and our listeners, hopefully they can enjoy it as well. Logan, first you, and then Brooke, second. What are your top two classes or subjects thus far and why? And now you can extend this back not only to your current school context, but maybe previous context as well, because I know you guys came from another school.
Man, that is a tough question, because I've taken a lot of classes so far. I think I've been really enjoying Theology 2. The reason for that is we have been tackling so many different topics like the Holy Spirit, salvation, and I really liked being able to discuss different aspects of theology. We've had a lot of questions regarding Calvinism and Arminianism, and there's still a little bit of me that really likes arguing about those topics, so that's kind of why I've been like,
yeah, a little bit of you, yeah.
I mean, like 80% of me. Then another class I've really enjoyed. I really enjoyed, this is a weird one, I really enjoyed English Composition 2. And the reason for that was purely because the final paper was on a topic of my choice and I chose creation. So I just really loved researching different ideas of how the creation story happens or what's the correct interpretation of it. And I really enjoyed writing the paper. So that's why I enjoyed that one. For my final one, ooh, it's tough.
Did you ask for 3 or 2? You asked for 2, didn't you?
2.
Oh, yeah. 2? Okay, I'm done.
You're done. Brooks, you're up.
Cut off.
Favorite
I'm going to just switch it around and tell you my least favorite class is Greek 2.
Oh, stop it, you. You're always complaining about Greek. I keep telling you, learn your Greek, bro. Learn your Hebrew. Get into the languages. Man, you whine.
Hold on. He complains way more about world geography than Greek 2.
Oh, don't even get me started. My That's favorite awesome. Class so far has probably been Old Testament 2. Studying the Old Testament is one of my favorite things. I honestly love the Old Testament so much. And the Old Testament 1, we studied the Pentateuch, and it's kind of, I mean, it was really good. Probably one of my top 5 classes as well. But I was just more familiar with it already. But going through like the minor prophets and, well, all of the prophets, the historical books in Old Testament 2, and interpreting them, seeing how they're used in the New Testament, just really going in depth with them was really, really amazing. I really loved it. And that was really applicable as well.
And then there were so many other books, like the books we had to read for those class really gave you a bunch of different perspectives that you don't really see in Orthodox Christianity, which were fun to wrestle with.
Yeah, what he's saying is we had a liberal textbook, but our teacher wasn't liberal. We just, he was having us be critical thinkers. But anyway, I think second favorite was probably philosophy, and I'm excited to have more of those coming up. It's just a topic I really enjoy. I really love thinking philosophically. I love reading the history of philosophy, and yeah, just studying philosophy in general is really great.
Yeah, you're gonna like ethics, man. Go ahead, Logan.
Can I change my, yeah, I want to change my second answer of English Composition to Christian Ethics. I was reminded I took that class. It was heavy. Because, like, the first week you start learning about, like, abortion and the different, like, ways that happens, and then you move on to euthanasia. So
it was a really practical Christian ethics class. So that was not.
There was some heavy.
That was not theoretical at all.
So, but it was really good to think through those really hard, difficult situations.
Yeah, that's good. You know, when I was in seminary, all my favorite classes were church history related. Man, I just. You know, this gets me to a point that I was going to make, which is professors matter when you're going through any type of education. And obviously this applies to, you know, biblical education, seminary, things like that. I had a professor in seminary who was fantastic. And he just showed me how to love the Bible. That's a given at the particular seminary that I attended, but a love for church history. And so... professors matter. You can take a topic that, you know, we all appreciate. Let's say New Testament 1. Well, you can get a professor who just doesn't care, who teaches that. Hopefully that's not the case, but totally ruin your perspective of, you know, New Testament 1. And so I'm not saying we need to be looking and grading like who's the greatest professor, who's the worst professor or anything like that. But I've just noticed from my experience that, you know, who's teaching the content really does matter. And,
yeah.
and whether they care or not, that's huge. If you know a professor cares about you, man, that goes such a long way in encouraging the individual in their studies.
Our professors be like, I don't even know who you are. who is this guy emailing me?
I mean, hey, I could argue that's a benefit of online courses is you're not as affected by the professor.
Yeah, I can totally see it.
They do. Actually, yeah. I don't mean to say our professors don't know who we are. They wouldn't recognize our names and they call us every class. They'll, like, our professors will call us at the beginning. They stay in email communication, but
yeah,
and
they leave really good comments on work as well.
Yeah, our Midwestern professors, man, they go through our work and leave comments. And what's great is they don't have TAs, at least so far. They haven't had TAs doing it. My professors go through all of my papers and leave, like, a lot of comments.
And that's good, man. If you can do online education, the institution making sure that the professors are engaged is super important and very helpful and meaningful for the student. Here's another thought that I have regarding just seminary education. Not every person who goes to seminary should be a pastor or minister. And I can't tell you how many people, and even myself included when I was in seminary, should have been a pastor or minister, you know, upon graduation or whatever. And it's interesting how many people go there. They get their degree and they're like, hey, I got my degree. You know what the next step is, baby? I'm going to apply to all these churches and I'm going to get myself a jobby job. No. And a lot of those folks should be going doing something else, not pastoring people.
Some people can graduate seminary and apply and go the whole resume route and get jobs from it. Not everyone who just graduates is not ready. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
But most people are.
Well, some of them are.
I mean, I would say one of the benefits of being part of a local church and going to seminary at the same time and working with my pastor is just realizing how not ready am I for being a pastor. Like, that's something I'm seeking. But going through seminary, I'm like, I'm still a bit of ways far away from reaching that.
Well, let's bring this around to a close because we're rounding about 37 minutes here.
Well, look, can I add one more thing, my friend?
Nope. Shut down.
One more thing.
You have been stopped.
No, this is bringing up a good point.
That's an off-topic question.
No, this is on topic. This is coming up a good point.
You can all, it's your podcast, dude. Say what you got to say.
Seminaries can do a lot of great things, but one thing they often cannot do are character qualifications. And that is why a local church is so important. 1 Timothy 3, Titus 1. Now, perhaps a professor can see a student whether they're living in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1, but they're not the local church. They're not the ones who are going to do the hiring and saying, like, you're going to be a pastor here. And so seminaries are great. They are wonderful. I love seminaries. I encourage people to go to seminaries. But at the end of the day, it is the local church who ultimately can make those character qualifications when they are able to invest and see how, in particular in our context, a young man is over time, right? Is he living that out? And so I think that's an important distinction to make between the importance of seminary and yet really the local church being able to invest and see how a young man is maturing or an old man maturing who might be called into seminary at a later age. You want to close this down now? Go ahead.
I wasn't trying to close this down. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you were.
Well, we're getting to one of our longest episodes yet. So
well, there you go.
I guess it's not bad. I mean, just to summarize my thoughts, I would say if you're considering going to seminary, don't do it flippantly. Actually consider this is going to cost real money. This is going to cost you actual multiple of thousands of dollars, usually dozens of thousands of dollars at least. And that's a burden you're going to have to pay. Realizing that you could, I mean, it's going to be very useful to you, but you can get there through very hard work and integrity. You could meet the qualifications and learn and, you know, develop theologically without seminary. Mm-hmm. And I think that it also depends on your local church. I mean, if you're going to a local church that's not willing to teach you at all, or you're getting no theological depth, or you don't even know the proper resources to get started studying, I mean, then you probably need to go to seminary or change local churches. You know what I mean?
But
for the majority of people in America, I guess you need the credentials. So it may be more, I mean, for Westerners, I might say more so consider it out of necessity because of a poor model that the American church has.
Yeah,
but realize you're taking on a lot of cost. What about you, Logan?
Yeah, I would say that my final thoughts are, yes, it does cost a lot, but at least in my view, I think that it is worth it. I've gained so much from going to seminary, and even if I were to never become a pastor or a professor, I do not regret going to seminary one bit.
That's good. Here's my closing thoughts. I always encourage young men who are considering the pastorate, if there's an avenue to do theological education, do it through seminary, provided that that individual is not disconnected from the local church. Clearly, seminaries have resources that many local churches do not have, So partnership and just making sure that the two are coming together in that young man's life is critical, and I would say essential in their development and growth to become a pastor or a missionary or something in ministry in general.
Thank you all for sharing your opinions. I know how few opinions you guys have and how rare it is that you share them.
Well, this is an exceptional day for me. I'm usually quite quiet and don't share my thoughts, as you guys know. So you're welcome.
Yeah, Logan as well is probably one of the least open person about his opinions that I've ever met. So I'm glad that you both were able to join, and Sean, that you allow us on your podcast. And
I love you, man, so much, more than you know.
Love you too. All right, well, let's see you guys in the next episode.
All right, God bless you guys. Take care.